Praise of the Lord is sweet. I've been walking some years with him. By his spirit, you know, he desires for us to grow daily in him. You shouldn't be in the same place that you were when you first got saved. You can't hear back there? Oh, there's nobody in the sound room. I'm sorry. I'll talk louder. Okay, he's got a little doodad. He's going to do some. Shouldn't be in the same place when you first got born again than you are today. You should recognize in yourself that the Spirit of God has grown, or you have grown, in the Spirit of God, or in the truth, in the Word of God, in your relationship with Him. You know, those of you who are engaged, you know, it took some time for you to get to that place. You know, you spent some time with that person, maybe daily, maybe 3 or 4 times a day. I remember my wife, when we were doing whatever we were doing. I was such a spiritual person, we couldn't date, so we weren't dating, we were doing something else. And so, I remember she had went home for the summer, and I was up here at school, and we talked all the time. Didn't have texting back then, so we had to call on the phone. You know, we were desiring to be in each other's presence all the time. You know, it was interesting, so to speak. But, you know, God says that he has this relationship with us that even when at long distances, if you move to another place, he doesn't stay in the place where you first received him. He goes with you. Yeah. And sometimes I think we forget that revelation that he is always there. And not only that, that he gives us all these wonderful gifts. You know, we wake up and we have these people relationships that he blesses us with, our parents, our children, our friends. But not only that, but he's always there. And then he wants us to gather together on Sunday mornings like this with other like precious people of faith so that we can enjoy him all together, amen? The Bible says that he's given gifts unto men that he might edify us and build us up. And we all need edification and building up. You know, we sometimes allow the enemy to isolate us in our despair or oppression or whatever you want to call it, our fear. And we don't know that others are also going through the same kind of things we are. And this is where we can get that encouragement to move forward and to know that God cares for us. I have been praying days. And I came across the scripture that says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions. But it then says, that, but the Lord, our God, delivers them, or the righteous, out of them all. All. There's nothing really hanging on the outside or on the other side of that word where your affliction is not able to be delivered by the Lord. You guys should be shouting right now. That's such a shout. There is nothing that you could go through. I'm trying to calm myself down because last time they said I got too excited. So there is nothing that you could go through. Nothing. There is no obstacle that you can face in this world, or really in the world to come, no obstacle. You say, my heart's failing me. You say, oh, I got a diagnosis of cancer. Or you say, a fella broke my foot. No obstacle. Well, maybe your relationship hasn't been blessed like some of these here and you're engaged. Maybe your relationship broke up and you have a broken heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, God delivers them out of them all. Now, if you don't hear any other word today, you should be able to go out here shouting and jumping because the Lord delivers them out of all. Now, some of you are going through some things that are, what's the word for it? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it. It's always there. You know, ongoing or chronic. That's the word I'm looking for. And you can't ever seem to get away from it, or you can't ever seem to leave it. It's just always in your face. And you're like, oh my God, I need to what is going on? And you are already struck by this affliction. That's what it is. Call it what it is, and then tell it, the Lord shall deliver me from you, because he delivers us out of them all. And then wait for him to do so. It only takes a matter of time. We've been walking this way for a long time. I'm trying to get myself down here. We've been walking this way for a while. And when the Lord brings the worship to a place where there's all this quiet, that's an indication. Sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes it's an indication that he's desiring to speak to us. Amen. Our God in heaven, our Father, wants to speak to us through you. See, because when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and power, not only with, you know, if you get the gift of tongues or prayer language, you also get all the manifestations that God has. And he can use us. It says to earnestly desire what? To prophesy that you might what? Encourage and build up the body. Not only will you get blessed, but we all will get blessed. And it's good to be blessed. It's good to get a confirmation that God is with us. Amen? Because sometimes the enemy makes it feel like he's afar off. That you can't see or touch or what? Or where, God, why are you hiding yourself from me? Right? You go down to pray and you feel like you're praying up a rock. You know, you feel like your prayer ain't going no further than your head. I'm telling you the truth here. Maybe you haven't experienced that. and praise God. Well, sometimes that happens. But here in the congregation of the Spirit, we should all feel very comfortable and relaxed among one another. I am not desiring to make anything hard for you. Right? I'm desiring to be led by the Spirit of God. I want him to use me to build us up. That you would hear a word of truth that will set you afire with the grace and obedience to him. Amen? That's what we're desiring to do here. But when praise and worship does that, just know that oh, and if you've been praying in your quiet time and you've been excited about something, maybe God wants to use you to bring out that word that he shared with you in your quiet time. Who knows what it might be that God would desire to do in our midst. And I want God, and I'm going to say this, and I hope Julia doesn't get offended. I don't care too much about Julia's flesh as much as I care about the Spirit of God out of her. Amen. Come on, tell me what you're talking about here. Because that's how we're all connected in the body of Christ. We're connected by the Spirit of God, amen. Right? Not by our flesh, we're connected by God's Spirit. I want to talk a little bit more about that because it's just something that God has been showing me, and I want him to focus me on that. When you start to honor him and begin to pray and ask him for his life in you, when you begin to pray in your quiet time for God to open up his wellsprings of life, you know, God's promises is that he would do that. So he's not going to hold back on us, amen? Whatever you need from him, all you have to do is ask. The Bible tells us that. God is not a man that he should do what? He should lie. He has filled this book with promises for us, and that he cannot lie. So however outlandish, the Bible tells us that, you know, he can do super abundantly above all that we dare ask or think, right? We can be down here in what we ask him, but he can do far more than that if we asked him. That's what his word says. That's what God is saying to us. And he can't lie. Now, these things that we speak are not fleshly discerned. They are spiritually discerned. So you have to be in the Spirit in order to receive them, right? The word of God, the truth that you read in the Bible, he doesn't want your intellect, so to speak, to be always so impressed by it, but he wants your spirit man to be encouraged and enlightened. So when you go to God, you have to go to him with that expectation that he is going to enlighten me. Jesus said that he would send us the Spirit of God, that he would show us what? Things to come even, but he would guide and lead us into all truth. So that's another reason why, you know, if you want to put that in why you should be baptized in the Holy Ghost, or why you should at least give him some credit, Because that's where we get our leading from. Our leading in the Spirit of God from Him. And when we are on our knees praying, that's who we want to come and overshadow us and help us to understand the word of truth. Now, when I first got born again many years ago, you know, it's impossible for us to know and memorize everything that's in here. Now, there may be some great people with, you know, photographic memories and all that kind of thing that can do that in the natural, but most people, we need some help. And Jesus said that he would send us the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, who would help us understand, or he would bring to our remembrance everything that Jesus has said from the Word of God. Everything that you've studied, even though you may not remember it right then, but when you need it, it's going to come. That's our confidence in who? Not in yourself, it's our confidence in God. That when that takes place, that's what's going to happen. It's called faith. Right? Really simple, not very hard. Okay. I think I'm getting to a place now where I'm ready to give you what God gave to me. So we endeavor, you say, why did we wait so long in that long span? Because we endeavor for the Holy Ghost to be in charge of our service. We want God in charge of this, what's going on. We want God in charge of us. Amen. Right? Come on. That's what we want. You say, well, you got a strange look on your face, brother. Are you okay? Okay. We want God to be in charge. We want the Holy Spirit to be in charge of our services. When we get a hold of this fact, now it's going to make your flesh feel uncomfortable because something is going to happen that you may not understand. But in the spirit, man, he's going to be jumping up and down because he's going to be excited about what is happening in you and in us. Our vision for the sanctuary or for the church talks about the knowledge of the glory of God filling the New River Valley. The knowledge of the glory of God. Filling the knowledge of the glory of God, covering all of us, right? So how is that going to happen? Have anybody been praying about that? No? Okay, all right. You have been praying, we just didn't know it. And if you've been praying in the Spirit, you have been praying about that because that is the charge that God has given our pastors for this church. That the knowledge of the glory of God cover, fill this place. Can't do that in our natural. Can't do that. And I know some of us have some really hard times separating the natural from the spiritual, you know, because we like to say, well, I talk, I can touch myself, and I'm here in my body and my physicalness. It's here. Where is the Spirit of God? Where, I can't touch him. I can't see him. The Bible testifies of this. But he says that we use our spirit by, it's a key word, our faith. What do you believe? That's how you got saved. Couldn't have got saved unless you believed that God was who he said he was. Right? Jesus was the Savior. And then you confessed it out with your mouth and you had to believe all that. So we have to still believe that God is supernatural, a spirit being. We're natural beings. He created us. So in a way, that makes us a little bit like him. But then he put something in us when we get born again. We get born of the Spirit. Okay, all right. Thank you, Father. I give you glory and praise. I honor you this morning, Father God, that you have spoken to us, Lord God, that words of encouragement that we've received in our hearts, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for your presence here with us. We give you glory and honor and praise, Father, always. And we thank you, Father, for this word that you've given us, Lord, to speak to these here, that they might be encouraged, they might be built up, they might get something, Lord God, that they can carry forward with them from this place in Jesus' name. So I was praying, and into my spirit, I heard the voice of God say, who's in charge? Who's in charge? God or man? Who's in charge of you? Now, I know I got one pointed at you, but look, I got three pointed back at me. That's like two and six. No. And who's in charge of you? God or man? Whose way, whose word do you do the most? God's word, a way, or yours? Whose word do you say the most? God's word or your words? Here's a hard one. Whose thoughts do you think? God's thoughts or your own thoughts? Interesting words, isn't it? Hopefully this afternoon, after we get through, and I don't have a lot of scriptures here, I got just one page of stuff, and who knows, I don't think we'll get through all of it, but we're endeavoring to help you answer those questions. I'm gonna tell you what Jesus said. Maybe I'm shouting too hard here. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about those in answering those questions. In John, the 15th chapter, let's go ahead and turn there. For those of you who are Bible scholars who like to know the word. And I should say this too, that, you know, the truth of the word of God, I mean, I could tell you anything. And you may go out here and repeat it to somebody else. I'm not going to lead you astray. But I want you to know that the Bible tells us to go at home and search the scriptures for yourself and see if these things be. Because I'm going to say some things that's going to probably shake you up a little bit. Because, you know, you may not have heard them the same way that I'm going to say them. I believe that you know, sometimes we get comfortable in our natural. And, you know, some of us, we don't pray as often as we sometimes want to or desire to, or we don't sense the presence of God, and we just forget. We say, oh, that doesn't matter. You know, I don't care about all that. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. But God has something more for us. Amen? John 15 chapter, I'm going to read from, I have a parallel Bible, so I have King James and Amplified. So I'm going to read from the Amplified. I am the vine, I'm the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed now and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Here's a little nugget for you. If you feel unclean, the word of God says that you can be cleansed by the word of God. So take that one. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Now, does that mean, well, when you need me, dwell in me, or live in me when you have a need, I want you to live in me, dwell in me. He's speaking these really big words. I mean, he's not saying, you know, in a second or in a minute, dwell in me for that little bit of time. He's saying, dwell in me, like I don't want you to leave or ever go away from me. Live in me, live. Have your life in me. And I will live, have my life in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Man, I'm getting, you know, I heard these words many times And I'm beginning to understand what God is saying about how he desires to live and dwell with us. I am the vine, you are the branches, verse 5. Whosoever lives in me, and I in him, bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. As I looked this way, I looked at Ted, and he says immediately, no, I can go out and I can build houses. What are you talking about? I can construct things without God. So is he talking about what we can do in the natural? Apart from me, you can do nothing. What's he talking about? He's talking about that place where he desires for us to live, in him. He doesn't want Ted, not, I know Ted. Ted doesn't build a house before God, let me just say that. He is a man of God, and I know he takes God with him everywhere he goes. But God is saying, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from what? A revelation of me dwelling in you and living in you, and you dwelling in me and living in me. Think about the revelation that you can have and what will happen when you get that revelation of the Spirit of God dwelling in you and living in you right now. Everywhere you go. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Who's in charge of you? Apart from me, you can do nothing. In that 15th chapter of John, the word abide in the Greek has several meanings, but the one that popped out to me was that abide means to be present. So think about that. Be present. God is saying, be present with me, and I'll be present with you. Be present with me. Can I be present with you? Now, and this is moment by moment life. Life in the Spirit of God, where we get rejuvenated by him. Now, I know that our mind drifts and goes off into different things. If you read the 15th chapter of John, there is a lot more in that chapter as you go down. Well, let's just go down. Verse 6, if a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me and abide or be present, vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Ask whatever you will when he is present and dwelling. Ask whatever you will. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you shall improve yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue his love with me. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I've told you these things, that my joy and delight might be in you, and your joy and gladness may be full measure and complete and overflowing. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So God is talking about us dwelling in him, and he's talking about us, his commands, allowing us to actually do that. When we obey his commands, this is how you dwell in him, right? You obey what God's word is saying to you. You obey those words. And he said, if you dwell in my love, the love of God, which is we obey the love of God, the unconditional love of God that we have received from him, if you obey that love, he says that he is present with you. No one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down or give up his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. I do not call you servants, slaves, no longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you my friends because I have made known to you Everything that I've heard from my Father, I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from him. So the Spirit of God has been sent, the Holy Ghost, to share with us all those things. And he said, I'm making them known to you so that I can dwell with you, so that you can know and not have any surprises, really. You know, not have anything come about that you are not able to handle. So there's no need for you to have fear, even fear of death. And I know that's taking you a little further than maybe I want to this morning, but you don't have to have any worry, because he's saying, I'm present with you. Now, can you imagine, or can you try to imagine God being with you every moment, every time the baby cries, God is with you. Every time the baby cries and he won't stop crying, God doesn't leave you because the baby's crying. Every time you burn the dinner on the stove, God is with you. He didn't burn it, but he is with you to help you unburn the dinner. Okay, you get what I'm saying. Everywhere you go, God is there with you. And you can call on him to help in all those times, because he's not anywhere from you. But that wasn't the question. And why he was telling them this, he was telling them all of that because he wanted them to know about his promise to them. If you go to verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So you may think that, I received him. But it was planned. He knew you were coming. He knew the day of your birth, and I mean your born again day, a date of birth. He knew when you were going to be birthed into the kingdom of God. You have not chosen me. He said, I've chosen you. And then he says, I ordained you or appointed you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that the fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Are you gathering what we're saying here? Are you getting the gist that we're with God and God is with us and we can ask him what he will? But some of you are saying, but I've been doing that. I think I have anyway. I've been walking with God. And I've been asking him and asking him and asking him and asking him. And I don't see anything happening. What's going on? What's the deal? Oh, y'all looking at me intently. So how have you guys been? No, I'm just kidding. So you said, what words before then, he talks about his commands, and he talks about his words dwelling in each of us, right? He talks about you doing and being obedient to what he said. And I always come back, and you know, I fall into those places also. So you're not alone when you start asking God, well, I believe I've been walking with you, God. And he'll come back and he'll say, well, did you do this? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I thought I did that, but I didn't do that. I knew I didn't do it. He knew I didn't do it. But you know, and you have to set yourself back on the track, because sometimes, you know, his obedience definitely comes before the blessing comes, amen? And so we have to follow after that. And sometimes we don't want to do those things that he tells us to do. And it may be something very, very simple. Go talk to the neighbor and hand them out an invitation to come to church. You say, what? God didn't tell me to do that. Yes, he did. He told us that two Sundays ago. He spoke through the pastor and he said, go hand this tract out to you, or this invitation to your neighbor or to someone. You say, well, that wasn't God talking, that was the pastor talking. Well, wait a minute. If he's dwelling in all of us, right? Why would the pastor tell us that? Because he wanted us to be embarrassed and beat over the head with a stick when we handed out the tract, right? That's what. I'll get too deep for you there. You're like, what? Are you serious? Wait, come on, wait a minute. I'm serious. The obedience of Christ, he's serious about what he tells you to do. He is serious. It could be something very simple as, well, tell your wife that you love her. Oh, you mean, what? I heard you say, what? Why am I saying that? Because he is present with you moment by moment. He knows everything about your life. And see, we think sometimes it's, oh, he's got to go tell me to win Blacksburg, go out, stand in the street, and preach the gospel and yell, you know. But that's not all what he wants us to do. You are present with him. He is present with you all the time. I don't want to rub Steve's feet tonight. Because I just don't want to do it. God, you got to get somebody else to do that. Don't tell me you don't have conversations with God like that. Well, you want, not about Steve, though. But we have conversations like that with God. Come on. I don't want to go to church and help them clean up because I'm always at church cleaning up. So somebody else go. The Spirit of God is wooing you in your spirit. He wouldn't have brought it up if he didn't want you to go. I want you to go give some clothes to Caleb's closet. Just go help out Linda. She's been there all alone. We hear those things and we think, well, that's just, I don't know what that is. What is that? That's the Spirit of, that's God dwelling with you. It's his, he's dwelling with you. God spoke to me, and I'm going to get on my wife now. And, you know, in sanctuaries, I like our sanctuary, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place. I love the Spirit of God. But I noticed that there was nothing green here. So my wife has a green thumb, and I said, honey, we need to buy some plants for the sanctuary. That's something God spoke to my heart. I spoke it to her. She said, well, I guess we have to come. We hadn't come yet. She broke her foot. So now we're coming, and the plants are coming. I'm testifying to you now. They're coming because God spoke that to me. And you say, what? That was it's nothing. We don't care about plants. We don't. Yeah, maybe you don't, but maybe God does. Maybe God likes to have the place where he's going to put his name and his presence to be filled with life other than the people that are here, right? Maybe he enjoys that. I shouldn't even have questioned whether he did or not. I should just be obedient, amen? Because I heard that in my spirit, what he wanted. And I should follow because he is ever present with us. I know, you know, some of you are going, oh my God, he did tell me to do that. Oh, he told me to do, oh, Lord have mercy. I know that's kind of getting over, but that's the Holy Spirit, you know, convicting you. Because he wants to know, who's in charge, right? He wants to know what's going on with you. Am I in charge or are you in charge? What is it? What is the deal? Are you making me present with you? Or are you just thinking that I'm only present when you want me? When you open up the Bible, then I'm present. When I come to church, then I'm present. When am I present with you? He says, I'm present with you all the time. And see, this is one of the reasons why we are sickly or we have instances of things that happen to us because we are being disobedient to God. Now, that's a strong word. Y'all going, ooh, he just called me disobedient. I'm just speaking the truth to you so that you can understand how important God wants to take this thing that he's done to you. I've called you into myself. I purchased you with a price. I've chosen you. You didn't choose me. Don't get all huffing, thinking that you can do what you want to do just because you think you gave me your life. I have chosen you. That's right. Because see, he had to lure us somewhere. He had to give us some. I don't know. What do you give? We have dogs and cats, and he has to give them stuff that to lure them into different places. You know, to kind of draw them into the place where you want. You gotta throw a little treat down, and then they come. And that's what God has done to some of us without us understanding the revelation of being born again Christians in the earth. That we are not just people who have a mental ascent to a heavenly being. He has come to live in your house, everywhere in your house, every place in your house. And because he's come to do that, he is bringing all the force of heaven to your place. What is it that you need? He says, ask and I will give it to you because you're in him and present in him. Then you're in his will. So I've been in that place where I'm present with God and I tried to ask him for $1 million. None of you have tried to do that? I sense the presence of God. Can I get? And it wouldn't come out. It wouldn't come out. What? Why? Because that wasn't the will of God for me. Now, maybe for some of you it is. But I'm just trying to say I understood what he was trying to tell me about being present in him and being in him and understanding that I'm following after his commandments, doing his word like he said he was doing. Right? I'm just using and doing what he's telling me to do. And that is causing me to get some understanding about me and him. Amen? He said, you're not your own. Now, where am I going? Oh, goodness, where am I going somewhere? Where am I going? Is Jesus' way your way? Is Jesus' way your way? How do you know? 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to start at verse 13. Food is intended for the stomach, and the stomach for food, but God will finally end the functions of both and bring them to nothing. The body is not intended for sexual immorality, but is intended for the Lord. And the Lord is intended for the body, to save, sanctify, and raise it again. What's the purpose of your body? Come on, tell me. It's for the Lord. I mean, he's telling us very plainly here, whether we want to believe it or not. And God both raised the Lord to life and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not see and know that your bodies are members, bodily parts of Christ the Messiah? Am I therefore to take the parts of Christ and make them parts of a prostitute? Never, never am I to take the body of Christ and do those things that he's already told me that I can't do. What can I do? I'm not supposed to sin. I'm not supposed to, if he is present with me and I'm present with him, then he tells me that I won't sin. Now, and I know some of y'all are going, we are sinners, boy, we are in the natural weekend, we're going to sin. What do you mean? Let me get through with this and I'll take you to a place. Or do you not know and realize that when a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her. The two, it is written, shall become one flesh. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. Flee from impurity in thought, word, or deed. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. Man, I know some of you like, I disagree with that. I am my own. I wake up with myself every morning and I see myself and I go to the mirror and it's me. See, your natural mind will take over. And I think sometimes you say that to yourself so that you can give yourself a way out to sin. So that you won't have to call on God for strength to not sin. Because that's why he is there. He is present with you so you won't sin against it. So you won't do the thing that you know you ought not do. If you got a habit, let's force it. I don't care how strong it is. He said, if I'm present with you, you will ask what you will and it'll be done. He desires us to be free from sin. He already freed us. So we have the power in him to resist the sin. And until you exercise that power, you'll never know it and you will always fall. So why does he want me not to sin? So that his presence can be greater among you, so that your mind can be infused with more of him, so that you can get more of the understanding from him. Because when you sin, guess what happens? Guess what happens? Come on. He separates from you. He doesn't go far. He's not gone anywhere. But he is sitting outside of you because you decided you want to be present with sin and not present with God. I'm going to show you something in a minute. But you're not your own. Let me keep reading here. Where am I at? In chapter 6? Let's read all the way through the end. 19. You are bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made his own, so then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. And Paul is using these things because, these words, because he wants you to know that in our natural mind, we can understand things being purchased. You know, we can understand when something's brought with a price. We can say, oh, well, that thing belongs to that person. And so that person has a right because of property, if you want to, so to speak, to do whatever he wants. So God is trying to get this understanding in your mind. You belong to him. I bought you and paid for you. All to get you to make a decision to be present with him. It's for your good, but we got to make the decision. You have to make the decision, right? Because your will is still involved. So I told you I was going to take you somewhere because some of you looked at me like, what do you mean I don't have to sin? Romans, the 8th chapter. Thank you, Lord. You know where I'm going? Anybody know where I'm going? 8th chapter, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. If you walk after the dictates of the Spirit, right? He says there is no condemnation. Why is there no condemnation? Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you can't fulfill the desires of the flesh. What do you mean? For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own Son in the guise of sinful flesh, and in as an offering for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice, so that the righteousness and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move and not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the carnal mind is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is empty against God, for it is subject to the law, and neither deed can be. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So if I'm walking in Christ, it says here that I am free from the law of sin and death. So my choice has to be that I'm going to walk in Christ. I'm going to be present with God. Because as long as I'm present with God, I am free from the law of sin and death. Is that what not it? Isn't that what it said? That is what it said. Now, we can believe that or not believe it. We can say, that's poppycock. I don't believe that because my sin is just strong. I'm going to go do whatever I want to. Go ahead. Bible says that you have an advocate with the Father, and you can cry out to him and ask for forgiveness and be brought back in right standing with him. But just know that's not what his intention was. His intention was for us to ever be present with him and him never to ever leave us. Never to ever. Never to ever. Is that a, well, that's a word for you. Never to ever leave us. So we have done what he has said. In the 13th chapter of Romans, the 14th verse, 13, 14, what does it say? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Make no provision for indulging the flesh, but put a stop to thinking about evil cravings and of your physical nature to gratify its desires and its lust. Paul is telling us we can put on Christ. It's our decision. It should be our desire to do so. But it is our choice to do so. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. He purchased us so that we can know that we can live a life connected, vitally connected to him. And it's a wonderful life. I mean, who wouldn't want to not partake in sin any longer? Anybody? We know that the wages of sin is death. Now, I know that the pleasures of sin, you know, that they make you feel good, and, you know, sometimes I just have to have, you know, more drinks than I really want to, and want to smoke a little bit of pot over here, maybe, and maybe I want to take a little bit more time in the sanctuary and minister to you, even though your time is coming, wearing down. And I'm almost done. So I'm going to read you one more scripture, and then I'll close. Hebrews 11:6. So in these things, and I mean, I've been praying, and we've been praying for not only revival in our sanctuary, but we've been praying for the glory of God to come about. That's the Spirit of God telling me it's time to wind down. And so I'm on my last scripture. And I know we've been praying for God and the glory to come about and to shine forth with in this place so that we begin to walk in his power and his presence. You know, when the Spirit came in Acts, and we've studied that in our home care group, you know, he said, wait, go and tarry until you receive power from on high. You know, don't do anything until he comes, the Holy Spirit comes. And he comes with power. And that's something I think that we forget. He not only comes, yeah, we can speak in tongues, a little bit of prayer in the Spirit, all that, but he's come with power for each of us. For each of us. Not just to pastor because, you know, he can spend more time with God, but for each of us, God says, if I am present with you, you know, we call his ministry the fivefold full-time ministry. Right? You guys know about that? No. So anyway, he's full-time because his job is to be in the presence of God, to pray and believe God for a word for us. But we can be in full-time ministry as well, because the word says that we belong to him, and he is present with us, ever present with us. Because we belong to him. We bought with a price. So last verse, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him, for whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those earnestly and diligently seeking him out. So when we come to God, we have to believe that, first of all, that he is a God that does his word. We already talked about God not lying. He's not a man that he should lie, so he's going to tell the truth, so we can depend on everything that he says to us in his word. But that's how we have to approach these things about him. If you're disbelieving about something that I said today, and that somehow you still want to hold on to parts of yourself, you can. You know, God works with us, I believe, to whittle away, you know, our ownership of ourselves to the part where we have laid down and said, okay, God, I'm done. Do whatever you will with me. When you read the Acts of the Apostles, you see the Spirit of God talking to them and sending them to this place and that place. And we wonder why their world was turned upside down. It's because they wholly submitted everything to God. They belonged to him. He belonged to them. And he carried out his word on their behalf because of it. So we're desiring to upset our world, turn our world upside down, to turn the New River Valley upside down, so to speak, if you want to say that, then we've got to enter into some of this. God being present with us. And we understand that we cannot be disobedient. We must be obedient. They were thrown out. They went around in the wilderness year after year after year after year. And, you know, Pastor spoke on this last Sunday. They went around for 40 years. Why did they go around there? They were led by a pillar. They had signs and wonders. They had all this wonderful things of God happening to them. But why didn't they enter into the promised land? It was because of their unbelief. And I want to raise that a little bit to you, because some of you don't think it's true. You mean it was because they didn't believe in God. And so when we take this at no effect, and we hear things like we said this morning, and we just say, oh, I don't know what that is, then we're doing the same thing. When we don't realize that God wants to be present with us and his word dwelling in us, we're just saying, oh, I don't believe that. And so you're walking in unbelief to the word of God. And we don't enter into the promised land. So don't get on me when I'm a little bit forceful in praise and worship, and I want you to yell and shout and trying to get you over to the place where I believe God can minister and help us to get more understanding, because I'm excited about us going. And the thing about it is, I would go by myself, Steve, if he told me I could go without you. But I can't go without you. Me and Eric would go. I'm telling you, we would. But we can't go without you. Why? Because he's connected us as one body. You know, I have more scripture to share about us being in the same body and having different ministries and so forth, so on, manifestations of God. But we all have to go. Or let's just say the majority of us have to go. We have to understand what God is saying to us and grab a hold of the truth of the word of God. Amen? So let's pray.